Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
Welcome everybody to our Christmas episode of the Game Stuff Podcast. With me today is Roberto. Roberto, what's up, man?
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
So, it's just me and Roberto tonight. It is the holidays, and it's a very busy time for people, especially for Matt and Joe, who do have kids. So, tonight you get the both of us. But for those of you that are new to our podcast, we are a conversational podcast for gamers about gaming from gamers. So this week I would like to give a shout out to our newest listener, Dickie. Thank you so much, Dickie, for joining us.
Welcome, Dickie. Thank you.
If you do like us, please subscribe and rate us. You can check out our Twitter at GameStuffCast. We do have a Facebook group. Just search Game Stuff Podcast. So, before we get started into our topic of the show, which is going to be, oh shit, I can't believe this happened to me. Thank you, Andrew, for the suggestion. Let's find out what you've been playing this week. Roberto, anything fun?
Oh yeah, a whole host of games involving shooting aliens, surviving giant apocalypses, and also, let's see over here.
Roberto! No, we're talking about what video games you've played, not what you've done in real life. I know they get mixed up.
Yes. But in any case, all right, let's get started on that. So the first big game I want to really highlight is a game that I hope comes to the Switch, or at least games, because it's one of the most fun in under-the-radar games you could have this year if you have a PC or PS4. Earth Defense Force 5.
Because you haven't been hyping this up on the actual GameCast or the podcast or the Facebook group for the last 3 weeks. So you finally got to play it.
Yes. With the generosity of D3 Publisher and Sandlot, I had gotten a copy on the day it launched, and I can tell you, like, this is kind of, I guess, like you can call it a first review. It's a great action shooting video game that you can have for fun with another player in the same room, or
so it's couch co-op,
yeah, or online,
and it's not on the Switch,
regrettably. No, but I honestly don't see a reason why this shouldn't be on the Switch. It's I'll try and like cut through the Cliff Notes version. Earth Defense Force is a series of games that were based, that originally were called Global Defense. Basically was like it was released on the Xbox 360 and the PS2, I believe, in Japan. Now, it's basically Robotron 2084, but it's Godzilla films. So you have giant ants, giant spiders, giant robots, and you have, you're part of the Earth Defense Force. So you can either be a soldier, a female jetpack laser soldier, or what they call an air raider, which is a guy who calls an air support. And basically, it's you against literally hundreds of these monsters at any time. So you got machine gun or a laser or a rocket launcher or anything like that. It has infinite ammo. Your objective is to shoot them all and survive. Earth Defense.
Now, what character are you playing?
I'm the Ranger. So that's like the basic infantry guy. So what they can do, though, is they can utilize a whole variety of weapons. So like sniper rifles, bazookas. And then you can also ride in tanks, little robots, actually, exoskeletons. And once again, the objective is to destroy absolutely all monstrosities. They're called the Buggernauts in some games. They're called the monsters or aliens in other games. So this one, in this new one, it's like a new built from the ground up Earth Defense Force game. The other ones were remasters and ports. And like, for example, Earth Defense Force 2 was on the PS Vita, and Earth Defense Force 4.1 is on the Xbox One, Xbox One and PS4. And the there are remasters, and they're great games because they're just, it's easy to learn. You have fun. You can play with another player. And then Earth Defense Force 5 feels a lot more like Starship Troopers. Like, when you use a weapon, you can see the giant ants and all that. They get literally torn apart. There's also no penalty for destroying entire buildings of a city. So if you're in a city and you destroy an entire building with something, there's no penalty. The objective is to literally destroy everything. The other, so some of the additions real quick for Earth Defense Force 5 include new weapons, new enemies, and new, like, equipment to use. So you can fly a helicopter, you can ride a tank, you can use an exosuit, you can also do other little things like that. The nice thing about this one now is that your weapons can level up, and also if you die, you still get some of the thing, like, some of the weapons and things that you obtained, you still get them. Because the older games are hard. If, like, you can, like, go 10 minutes, and if one ant just sprays, like, alien acid at you, and you die, then all the stuff that you collected, you lose it. So, yeah, because the objective also is that the aliens, they drop these giant red boxes or green boxes, and they're either armor, so you can get more health, or, like, added on for every level, or, the green boxes are weapons, so then, you know, you get to keep that. So this one, though, it's a sense of progress, even if you die, so, which is great. I can't recommend it enough. It's just a really fun, over-the-top, Godzilla, Toho-inspired video game franchise. Think of every giant monster TV show or movie, and you're basically the military in it. It's fantastic. Nice. Yeah. Have you heard of Red Dead Redemption before?
No, what is it for?
Oh, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
Okay.
So, decades ago, there was a game called Road Rash. It was on the Sega Genesis, the 32X. And it was a very cool racing video game. Well, not even racing. Just racing/deathmatch type of game on a motorcycle. You rode on your bike. You took weapons, guns, guns or clubs or bats, and just your objective was to smash the skull of whoever was next to you on those motorcycles. You could kick them, you could punch them, you can, like, throw their face into the pedal, handlebars, I should say, not pedals. and then just have tons of fun. So there have been other games trying to emulate that. There was actually a game last year called Road Rage or something, and it was really, really bad. So Road Redemption is from Tripwire Interactive. These guys were, I believe it was Kickstarted, and then Tripwire Interactive came in. And then this is a Tripwire Interactive are the guys behind Killing Floor 2 and Rising Storm Vietnam. So it's a pretty interesting game. It's like a solid 7 out of 10 type game. I can't recommend it terribly only because it's really hard. So in this game, it's Road Rash in 3D. So you're on a motorcycle, you know, there's other, the objective is that you have to fight these drug cartels to take out this big drug cartel guy. So you can use machetes, literal Excalibur King Arthur swords, harpoon guns, SMGs, bats, axes, everything. You can kick, of course, you can, you know, deflect attacks. So it's kind of, it's a roguelike, in a sense. So the levels all and the objectives all change. And your objective, of course, is to survive so many levels so you can take down the big cartel guy. And at the end of each zone, there's like 3 zones in this game, there's a boss fight. So I tried last night to play, and it's fun. The music's a little generic, but the gameplay is kind of fun. The only problem is that it can get stupidly unfair at times. There's oncoming traffic. There's also one level I was in a hallucination level, and the cars were literally falling from the sky and then driving into me. So, like, when you hit a car, you take a good chunk of damage. When you hit a car and you fly from your motorcycle, you take a good chunk of damage. There's shortcuts. There's boosting. There's one nice thing is that there's some missions that are straight out of Fast and Furious, where you have to chase, like, a larger vehicle. And then one nice thing is that you can take a block of C4 and, like, stick it on their side and then drive away, and then it just blows up. So that's one nice aspect. The gameplay's fine. The visuals are okay. It's just, once again, it gets stupidly hard. And then you have to, the nice you have to earn upgrades, permanent upgrades, and one of the upgrades is to start at a later stage. So I got like to stage 4 last night. I died, so I'd have to start to stage 1, but I have to keep leveling till I get to the part where it's like, oh, you can start from stage 3 if you want. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a little harder than expected, but I'm trying to like warm up to it because I kind of feel like it could have been a bit easier, maybe had some checkpoints or maybe, I don't know, something along those lines. But at the same time, I am liking that it's unique. It has unique attributes, unique mechanics, and it's cool. The other thing is, like I said, the rock and roll soundtrack is pretty generic. You already probably grow sick of it, you know, not terribly often. In a short amount of time, I should say. But then again, I got Spotify. Like, you know, everyone has Spotify on their PS4, so you can just turn that on and, you know, listen to Pearl Jam while playing this game. It's pretty neat. So then the last game I want to talk about is actually a game that was controversial when it launched last year, but I've grown to like it, and I think that people can enjoy it now. The game is called Star Wars Battlefront 2. So I know we've talked about this a lot, but I was like, you know, but here's the thing. So I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan.
I am not.
Oh boy, so this is going to be a great conversational piece for our conversational podcast. It's Tuesdays, ladies and gentlemen. But anyways, okay, so I won't be too geeky then. I'll just say this. I grew up watching reruns on a VHS tape of the first Star Wars, of Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back. Well, Empire Strikes Back I didn't watch until later because like I never liked watching because the bad guys wanted that one. But then I warmed up to it. And I grew up seeing Episode 1 Phantom Menace in theaters. I grew up seeing Attack of the Clones in theaters. I grew up seeing Revenge of the Sith in theaters. There was also the Clone Wars cartoons, which I try to get into. I want to get into more. And my point is that I've really liked Star Wars overall. And The Force Awakens, I really like The Last Jedi for all intents and purposes, because this will easily trigger a lot of people. I liked it. I felt that it still had its flaws, and I can easily go into a lot of them, but then this becomes a completely different podcast. But I felt that it was still an above average movie. I just hope that the script really hurt it. So when Star Wars Battlefront 2 launched, as you know, it had those microtransactions, and I bought the game at launch, and I was like, this is breaking my heart. It really is. Like, this is a video game. It's Star Wars. I love Star Wars. It's supposed to be a franchise for everybody. And they have all these just, you know, nickel and dime microtransactions, which were so bad. Like, you could swipe your credit card and buy Darth Maul and then literally kill everybody in the beginning of a match. So, it was really frustrating. I learned that they released a patch that removed all the microtransactions. And then they released more patches and updates. So then recently they have the Obi-Wan Kenobi update. And now I'm really liking it. I was like actually kicking some butt in Geonosis with the combat, with the shooting. I had to still get used to using the heroes, but that was pretty cool. Today I was Chewbacca and I shot like Darth Vader in the face. So that was fun. And I also finally finished the campaign too, which was actually not bad. But I guess I bring that up because it's like it's nice to see that a team got together. They kind of bypassed the whole corporate nonsense of it all and just said, you know what, let's make a video game. Let's give it to the fans. Let's try and repair something. And they did something really good here. I really think so. They're going to be updating it through next year. I don't know if they're going to have Episode 9 content. That's unknown, but it's now, I can safely say it's a good, fun Star Wars video game. And the multiplayer you can get lost in for hours. Every little detail in that is just, you feel like you're in Star Wars, so.
That's good. I mean, it's not a game I would play, because, again, I'm not a Star Wars fan, I'm a Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're fixing those microtransactions is probably a really good thing for the gaming culture as a whole.
Right. So also just referencing Shadow of War did that also. Which was actually more like just more as preposterous that in their case, in Shadow of War's case, it's a single player video game. where you're, you know, in set within Lord of the Rings. So this one's multiplayer. So the microtransactions, you can see where they were trying to like monetize that. Here, it's a single player game. So literally, they would just like, after you would kill like an orc or whatever, the all that would just get up in your face. And it's just like, why are you doing this to me? You know, I spent $60 on this. So then over the summer, the team said, we are purging it of all microtransactions, all that loot box stuff. It's gone. And now the game is, you know, it was very well received back then, but now it's probably better. So it's a very interesting dynamic of sorts at this time. So to see where games as a service, games being themselves, and it looks like we still have, there might be a space for, I guess, both coming into the next year, because that, you know, as you saw with PlayStation, many of their games, which won Game of the Year awards or got nominations, never had to use microtransactions. And then you got games that, like, you know, that use them, and it's like hit and miss, and some nominations, some not, and we'll have to wait and see. So, I mean, I'm just really happy that, like, they kind of came to their senses, and I hope that with the next Star Wars game, which we don't know what's going to be, it's from the guys that made Titanfall, it's going to be some kind of a... I mean, hopefully good, because I'm still, like, a little bit hurt that they shut down Visceral Games, but that's a whole, like I said, a whole other topic of discussion. The point is that Battlefront 2 is good again. So, who was it? Joe bought it for, like, $10, right?
On Black I don't Friday. Remember.
Yeah, like, so, yeah, it's worth 10 or 20 bucks. Okay, so, in any case, what about you, Kalai?
Well, it's my busy time of year, because with, of course, Christmas coming, I don't really have a lot of time to play games, because I'm prepping and planning my parties, and I get invited to a lot of parties. But I did play some stuff. I went to a party for my friend's 40th birthday party, so of course we pulled out the Switch, and I was Karen again.
Yeah.
And we played some balloon fight and stuff people wanted to play, which is fine.
That's
good. I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter. I'm supposed to specifically talk about this, as I've been told to talk about this. You know, our good friend of the show, Matt. I was playing Monster Hunter, and we were doing a Tempered Valhazak, which is a dragon that looks very undead. It's very cool. So he was like, don't fuck this up, people. I have one shot at it before I have to leave. I'm like, okay, dude, man. We fucked up in 30 seconds. We were all dead and the quest was over.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So those monsters, and this is Ultimate, right?
This is not Ultimate. No, this is Worlds.
World, okay. Yeah, so that's the thing about those beasts, man. I mean, I haven't played the Monster Hunter yet, but from some of the experience that I've gotten in God Eater, it's like you think you have it in the pocket, and it's just nope. Like, even with God Eater Resurrection, I can't. Like, one time I was at work, and I'm like, no. I've worked the last 20 minutes to kill this thing. I have 10 minutes on the clock. I'm almost dead, and I got super lucky on that. So I totally understand trying to slay that beast.
Yeah, I got really lucky. My husband is on vacation right now. He takes off the last like 3 weeks of the year, and they just had a free trial of Monster Hunter for PlayStation and Xbox One. So I said, let's play together. Let's play on PlayStation because I actually have it there. So he jumped in. He was like, I'm not gonna like this game. I didn't like Monster Hunter 4 or whatever we played together. And I'm like, no, seriously. There's been, you know, improvements. I really want to see how somebody who doesn't like the series takes Worlds. Well, by the time we played one monster, he was like, well, let me see if it will work on my Mac. So we got it working on his Mac. He used my family share and played my game. And then the next thing I know, he bought it. So we've been playing that to get his character up. In fact, we were playing beforehand. But I mean, that's pretty much it. I really haven't had time to play games, which really sucks. I'm hoping next week to have a little bit more for you. Probably not, because it's Christmas.
Right.
So this episode comes out on Christmas, but we normally record on Tuesdays. So we're going to record a little bit later. I do plan to take off New Year's Eve from work, so I have a 4-day vacation, so I'm hoping to, like, binge video games. But it might just be Monster Hunter. We'll see.
Right, yeah. I would say keep... Well, one game I should have started playing, but I'll try. I can reveal this because, you know, thanks to a generous generosity from Digirati Distribution, I got a game called Omega Strike. It was on the PS4 and Xbox One and Steam. Now it's heading to the Switch on the 22nd. So I'm going to try and play that and, you know, over the next couple of times. Like, I can hear you with work, guys. Like, I got to tell you, being a gamer, like, to our audience out there, being a gamer and working, I mean, you got to make that bread to pay the bills, to get games. And then, but, like, working, man, it can take a toll. Normally, at my job, I have a good 30-minute break to eat and then play something for a good 20 minutes or so. But I've just, like, today, you know, I guess because it's, you know, almost Christmas and the New Year's is coming up, I got pretty hit pretty hard. So,
I know. I don't know if anybody else experiences this with Christmas, but, like, right now, like, I just don't want to play anything, and it's probably because I'm so excited for Christmas and the games I'm going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of that. But, yeah, you know, but it's good times, though.
Let's jump over to our topic of the show, which is, oh, shit, I can't believe this just happened to me in a game.
Yeah.
So, to get an idea of what we're talking about, I'll start. Do you know the game Rainbow Moon? It's on PlayStation 4 and Vita.
I have it. I haven't started it yet. I got Rainbow Skies. It's like, ah!
That's all right, because yeah. I started it. I was, you know, a good 20 hours into the game. The software became corrupted, and I had to delete it off my Vita. And, oh shit, I lost the save file and now have to start over again.
Ooh, that's painful.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of I lost a bit of save data like that, because one of the memory cards, I think... Oh, what happened to me? So one that, like, bad thing about the Vita is there's this... It has you need these stupidly expensive memory cards to store stuff. Fortunately, our friends over in Southeast Asia, particularly PlayAsia and also Amazon, they sell them. They're still expensive, but they sell them. So one of them got corrupt, and I lost it or something, because the stinking thing is on the bottom, and like it's a little, like it's a flaky little port. It's not like really like anything sturdy,
and it's so fucking tiny.
Yeah, so I think like I lost it or something or something like that, and I lost like the save data to Mutant, like a couple of smaller games, nothing terrible, but like yeah, man, I can totally feel you when it's like all that progress is gone. I mean, thank goodness for the PS Plus saves, but still.
Do you have any oh shit moments?
So, do you mean like something like that? Like a save data?
Anything. I'll give you another example.
Yeah.
Oh shit. When Red Dead Redemption 1 came out, I got it 2 hours into the game. I had to go to work because I used to work later. And I got to work, and at 8 o'clock at night, my relief would come. And I said, oh my god, I started playing Red Dead Redemption. It's so cool. He goes, oh, yeah, what do you think of what happens in the end when blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, shit, dude. I just started the game. I haven't even played that far into it. He's like,
The year was 2010 when hashtag spoiler alert did not exist.
Yeah. Yeah, so, told it right to my face. And yeah. I was like, I haven't been able to pick it up since.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, that's the worst. I'd have to say for me... I got a handful of them. I mean, it's, I'd have to say Metal Gear Solid 2, but the thing is, it's a cool memory. Like, so I had grandparents that lived in the Bronx, and my mom would drive, and, you know, they're about an hour away from where we live. And what I like to do is I used to stay where my sister fell asleep on the drive to New York. I always stayed awake. I always liked seeing the cars and the trees and the bridge and, you know, visualizing like the landmarks. And I always used to stay, like, I used to like to see the airport planes taking off and landing. So then to get to the Bronx, we crossed the George Washington Bridge. And it's like this, when you're a kid, you see this giant structure of beams and steel. And like, you don't really get the sensation that you're traveling over a big river. You know, it's now like, I don't know, I'm an adult. I get like a little bit like, yeah, with bridges now. Especially the one bridge when you're going to Washington, D.C. that doesn't have anything. Like, fuck that bridge. But anyway, back to my point. So then, as you know, Metal Gear Solid 2 begins with the sneaking tanker mission. It has a huge camera that pans around the George Washington Bridge. So my oh shit moment was, oh my god, they made a video game around a bridge that I crossed. That's by my grandparents' house that we've driven so many times and looks kind of terrifying, but looks cool at the same time. And he, and then there's a whole sequence. Snake as he is smoking, then he starts running, then he turns on his octo camo. He jumps, does a bungee jump onto the onto the tanker below, barely makes it, and officially sneaks onto a moving tanker ship. It's like, that's just hands down one of the best openers in gaming history. Just something about that. And then the rest of the game doesn't necessarily take place in New York, but it gets this sensation like New York. Everything is there. Freedom, liberty, that type of stuff. So that's one. The other one, another oh shit moment, I'd have to say, oh boy, there's like, there's too many. I was in college and I was playing Borderlands, the pre-sequel, and there's like the giant guardian boss at the end. And I had a friend with me at the time that I was dating, and she was watching, and she's like, oh, this is cool. And I'm like, yeah. And I had like, I was the cyborg guy and I'm shooting the boss, and like, it's, you know, it's a giant guardian. He's like just darting around this like space and I'm shooting him. Oh, okay. This is fun. I was like, and then like, you know, he collapses. I'm like, okay, I got him. I look at like, you know, my friend and like, I'm tall. Like, I'm like, yeah, I got it. Then, as you know, this is the second phase, so the guardian like fades into the ground and then becomes a giant, and I started like spamming like my controller. I'm like, I was telling my friend, I'm like, listen, do you see this? Can you help me? It's like, shoot it, shoot it. I'm like, shoot it, shoot it. And we're like, shoot it. And, like, we're just shooting. Like, she's just telling me to shoot the thing. And I'm just like, I'm spamming the hell out of, like, I had a handgun or something, and it was just reloading like crazy. And I was just, holy shit, that was fun. I mean, yeah. I had a few more memories with her too, so.
Yeah, let me see if I can think of what I had. Oh, I know. I told this story a couple weeks ago, so I'll make it short. Oh shit, I can't believe my sister beat Mario Brothers 2, and I couldn't. Oh shit, I can't believe she beat the boss.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there was that. Oh man, there was plenty of that. Trying to play Contra and finish Contra, the original. We tried, me and my sister, and I think a friend of hers, they tried so hard to beat Contra Alien Wars, and just forget it. You can't. There's like a bike sequence in there, and if you're not perfect in your shooting and placement, it's impossible. Oh, for me, okay, this is one memory. It's a little bit, it's very niche, but there was a video game on the early PlayStation 1 called Nova Strike. It was a shooter, it was a shmup, but it was like pseudo 3D. Like the whole game was like a giant FMV, you know, movie. And then, you know, you take your ship and you shoot everything on the screen. So this is like old tech stuff. And it was on the 3DO and all that. And they had it for PS1. So back at the time, PlayStation memory was limited. So some games you had to switch the disc out. So
I remember that.
So, yeah. So then, with this game, even though it was a spaceship shooter that you can get done in like 45 minutes, it still had two discs. So I always used to play up in, like, the disc up until, like, there's a giant, like, mech, like, robot snail that you have to shoot, and I shoot it, and then the game just spins around, and then it's like, insert disc 2, but I used to say I beat the game. Even though the instruction says insert disc 2, I never did. So then one day, I just looked and I said, wait a second, there's another disc in here and it's telling me to put in disc 2. So I put it in. Then there was this huge second chapter where after the robot snail, you have to go to some volcano planet.
Shit, I can't believe I didn't beat the game.
Yeah. I was like, I had to have been like not even 10 years old at this point. But basically, Nova Strike was, or Nova Storm, I should say. Basically, giant robot, like, it's Terminator, but in space. Giant robot becomes sentient, hosts this entire armada to fight humanity, and so you fight starships and go on different planets. The music soundtrack was pretty lit, though, so. Yeah, there was that, and let's see, what else was there?
You played Final Fantasy VII.
I used to rent that, and I hated it. That game, honestly, okay. Yeah.
That's all right, because I'm about to give a little bit of a spoiler. Yeah. You probably know, because everybody knows this one.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I can't believe Tifa died.
Only because, see, I never got far in the game. There was a giant robot crab in, like, the beginning of the when you're in, like, that city, and I never got past it because I didn't understand turn-based combat. So, yeah, 20. So, I mean, I'm sure now I enjoy it. You know, now, like, I'm into turn-based combat. I'm into, real-time strategy. But back then, I hated going in the menu and selecting attack and selecting defend when they should just have a game where you just go in there and you mash buttons, you beat the hell out of the guy, you know? And I mean, now I'm a different person. So
I have, oh shit, I can't believe Tifa died and never played the game. And you're like, oh shit, I can't believe I have to do this stupid combat system. So, hey, yeah. We have the same game.
Yeah, basically. Which was also kind of reflected when I first bought Kingdom Hearts, for example, in 2002, it was a 2 for 20 at Best Buy for greatest hits. And one was Kingdom Hearts, the other was Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance. So yeah, I had a great hybrid, polarizing set of games there. So I played Mortal Kombat first, but then when I finally got to Kingdom Hearts, I had the oh shit moment where it's like, wait a second. It looks like a Final Fantasy game, but it's not turn-based or anything. It's like you have this menu thing, but you can, like, run around. You can dodge. You can initiate attacks and magic attacks. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
I had another oh shit moment with Kingdom Hearts as well. Oh shit, I have no idea what happened with that storyline, because that is the most fucked up storyline because it's Japanese.
Oh yeah, it goes super Japanese, like after the second one. Well, at the second one, I should say. Which, I don't know what I'm going to do with this third one coming out. And like, now, like, we're looking at a month now. And the oh shit of a guy being a jerk in North Carolina. Stealing copies. Such an awful person. Terrible. But anyways, moving forward. Let's see. Let's see over here. Nintendo 64. No, that, I mean, there's plenty of oh shit moments in the N64. Like, it didn't really hit though. It was like one of those shocking ones. Like, I didn't, like when I saw Super Mario for the first time in 3D, like, I was surprised, but I think I was so surprised I couldn't really believe it until years later when it was like, oh my god, he's in 3D. But Sonic the Hedgehog, though, when Sonic Adventure happened and he got in 3D, and I saw the Dreamcast and stuff, that was an oh shit moment, because I was like, oh my gosh, he like looks totally new, and I know who it is, and it's Sonic, but wow, this looks cool. Definitely another one would be 2010, when I shook Hideo Kojima's hand for the Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which was cool. Well, there's like, well, actually the whole day was a oh shit moment, because I not only shook his hand, I also got completely lost in southern Manhattan. So I almost missed the boat to go home. And if I missed the boat, I would not have been able to go back to Jersey.
That would have sucked.
Yeah. So, because I took a boat from Sandy Hook, and then I got to the port, and then I walked, and he was at a Uniqlo, and then the line was too long. So I went to he was going to be in Best Buy Union Square. So I waited on the Best Buy Union Square line for a few hours. I shook his hand. It was great. He autographed Peace Walker. But then I was like, okay, all I have to do is just walk south. And I walked south, and I wound up at the Brooklyn Bridge and not at the seaport that the boat's at. So I'm like, it's like the boat's supposed to show up at like 9. It's like 8:45. So I did the straight up flag a taxi. I flagged him, and then I found the seaport. Then it turned out the boat was running late anyway. So that wasn't so bad. let's see. Yeah, other than, there's plenty of other little moments like that. In terms of multiplayer gaming, first time doing a 7-player Smash. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, what else? Playing Call of Duty 4 for the first time and seeing those photorealistic graphics, that's another one, because that was, like, unbelievable at the time. And yeah, being at E3, the being in that theater and actually being like, oh wow, this is like really what it looks like, which is where they hosted the Game Awards. So yeah, okay, that's like a runners up. Can you think of anything else?
No, I really can't.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah.
I know. I'm sure I've had them.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, one last one. God of War. the beginning of the second one, and the third one, because those are introductions you won't ever forget. Like, the third one I remember buying at GameStop and then coming home, and then just that first hour and a half with fighting, you know, Hades and fighting Poseidon. That's something that ever. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I could probably go on and on about video game moments, though. But in terms of that, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll end our show here. How can they get in touch with you?
All right. So, first up, I can be seen at stackup.org, military gaming charity. I'm a writer and volunteer there. They're looking for more support for Heroes for the Holidays, and also they're going to be going to PAX South. So if anybody wants to support them in their mission, please do so. Also, Twitter at JetHuti88, MajorSloth1988 on Instagram, Facebook, Roberto Rob Nines Nieves, PlayStation Network, VectorMan88, Nintendo Switch, MajorSloth, and... yeah, that's about it. And But Why Though podcast. I'm a writer and contributor for that site, and they're a geeky, fun podcast. They primarily talk about comic books, but they cover all the other little fandoms of our world. So feel free to check them out, support them, and I'm a contributor there as well. So with that being said, thanks for tuning in, and But anyways, how about you, Kalai? How can they reach you?
Before they can find me, you can find Joe at MrTMT84. You can find Matt at MistEnuff, MistAhnuff on all social medias and PlayStation. You can find me on Steam at Kalai21 playing Monster Hunter. You can find me on Xbox at Miley, MAILE, the number 21. You can find me on the PlayStation at Miley1978. You can find me on Twitter at Kalai21. And you can find me on the GameStuff Twittercast. Now, we do have some sponsors. We are sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com. Do your shopping like normal. Click on any of those Amazon ads. Do your shopping like normal, and it does help out the site. Also, we're sponsored with Humble Bundle. In our show notes, there's going to be a link to our Humble Bundle page. Click on it. Do your shopping like normal. We support the Extra Life for the Kids. If you like our show, check out our other shows. We have the Trophy Horse, which is our PlayStation podcast. And we have the Nintendo Dual Streets, which is our Nintendo podcast. I also want to thank some people who have helped us with the show. Isaac Sego, who've done our logo. And the band Take Away the Ugly, who's done our song. Thank you guys so much. You can find the links in our show notes. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for joining us this year on the GameStuff podcast. We will be bringing you new episodes next year. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode of GameStuff.
All right. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everyone. Remember to share your warmth and light to everybody this holiday season, especially for next year, because we're about to fight darkness in Kingdom Hearts 3, so you better get that light all prepped up and trained out there. Especially you, Veronica. Everyone, have a great holiday season, and we'll be back in 2019, and we'll be back for New Year's Eve also, so have a good one, everyone. May the Force be with you.